Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Va'era. And the title of the shir tonight is The Defeat of the Magicians. And as the title suggests, the shir will be focused on the different makos in which the magicians, they try to replicate the maka, and eventually they are unable to by kinim. So I want to just understand, on a deeper level, what the purpose of the Torah telling us these different instances where the magicians are able to replicate. Why is the Torah telling us this, and why weren't they able to replicate kinim? What happened at that point? And what was different about kinim, about lice, the plague of lice, which made them unable to replicate it? So let's look through all the elements or all the parts of the story in which the magicians try to replicate an os or a mofes and a nace. We'll start with the first instance. I'm just going to read through the psukim. There's four cases, and just give a general summary and factually try to get what's going on over here. So the first source is number one on the source sheet, Shmos Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud. It says, "Vayavo Moshe v'Aaron el Paro, v'yasu chen kasher tziva Hashem, v'yashlich Aaron es Mateo lifnei Paro, v'lifnei avadah, v'yihi lesanin." Moshe and Aaron, they meet Paro for the first time, and Hashem told Moshe and Aaron that they should that Aaron should throw down the staff, and it'll turn into a tanin, into a reptile, some type of serpent, and this happens. And Lud Yod Aleph, "Vayikra gam Paro lachachamim, v'almachashefim, v'yasu gam him chartumei Mitzrayim b'lahatehem kein." Paro calls the wise men and also the magicians, the sorcerers, and they too, with their sorcery, which we'll explain, are able to replicate this. And they throw down their staffs, and they also turn into reptiles, just like our own staff. And what happens? They all throw their staffs down, and the mate of Aaron, the staff of Aaron, it swallows up all of their staffs. And Paro does not listen to them, his heart is hardened, as Hashem had said, had mentioned. So the first instance where we see some type of magic going on, and we'll explain what that means, is when the Moshe and Aaron first meet Paro, and they're told by Hashem to do this nace, and the nace was that Aaron throw down the stick and it turns into a serpent, a reptile, and Paro, he calls these people, these individuals, and they're able to replicate it in the same manner. So that's the first instance. Then we see them again. We see them by Dam. Look in source number two, Shmos Perek Zayin. I'm going to read through the psukim. It's pasuk yutes. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe amor laron kach matecho nteyadecho al meimei Mitzrayim al naharosam al yorehem bealag mehem beal kol mikvei meimehem beyudam vahayadam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim uva'itzim uva'avanim. Hashem says to Moshe and to tell Aaron to outstretch his staff over all the waters of Egypt, and they'll all turn into blood, and also in the kelim. Vayasu came Moshe Aaron kasher tiva Hashem vayarn b'matzav vayachas amayim asher bayor leinei Paro leinei avadav vayafchu kol amayim asher bayor ledom. And they do as Hashem told them. And Aaron, he outstretches the staff over the waters, and they turn into blood. V'hadaga asher bayor mesa vayvash ayor v'lo yachlu Mitzrayim l'shos mayim in ayor vayhi hadom b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. What happens is that all the fish, they all die in the river, and the Mitzrayim, they're not able to drink the water from the river because it's all blood. Now look in Chaf Beis. Vayasu chen chartumei Mitzrayim b'latehem, vayichazak leparo v'lo shama lehem kasher dibir Hashem. And the chartumim, these magicians, they do the same thing. They turn water into blood, and because of that, Paro doesn't listen to them, as Hashem had said already in the past to Moshe and Aaron. Vayifen Paro vayavol beiso v'lo shas libo gamazos. Paro goes home, and he doesn't care about this. He doesn't care about Dam. Okay, so we saw two instances where the magicians play a role in the story. The first is in the first meeting with Paro, where they're able to replicate the nace of Aaron by throwing their staffs down, and it turns into the serpent, the reptile. The second one is by Dam. They're able to replicate Dam. Okay, and Paro, because they're able to replicate it, it seems like he just turns around, he doesn't listen. Then the next one, Svardeya, we see it again. It says in number three, Perek Ches Pasuk Aleph, Vayom Hashem Amoshe Amor L'Aaron Teyes Yadachov Matecha, so Hashem says to Moshe to tell Aaron to take his staff and the same thing and outstretch it over all the waters, and the tzvardim, the frogs, will be all over Eretz Mitzrayim. Vayita Aaron es yado al meimei Mitzrayim batal hatzvardea batachasas Eretz Mitzrayim. And Aaron does this, and what happens is there are frogs all over Mitzrayim. Once again, in Gimel, vayasu chena chartumim belatehem vayalu es hatzvardeim al Eretz Mitzrayim. The chartumim are able to replicate this, and the tzvardeim are all over Eretz Mitzrayim. So the third case where we see that the magicians are successful is by the tzvardeim. They're able to replicate the tzvardeim. And finally, in Dalad, we see a difference in Paro. It says, "Vayikra Paro l'Moshe l'Aron, vayomer ha'tirul Hashem, v'yaser ha'tzvardeim, imeni u'me'ami, v'ashlecha sa'am v'izbechul Hashem." Now Paro, he does listen. And he says to Moshe and Aaron, "Please, daven to Hashem, remove the tzvardeim, and I'll send out the nation in order to bring korbanos to Hashem." So we see a difference, a little change here by the third one. Even though the sorcerers, the magicians, are able to replicate this, the tzvardeim, the frogs, Paro, he asks Moshe and Aaron to remove them. So we see a little difference. Before, Paro just ignores Moshe and Aaron. Now he asks Moshe and Aaron to daven for him. And then the last instance, which is number four, is by the kinim, which is the third makkah. And by kinim it says, "Vayomer Hashem," it's perik ches pasuk beis, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe amor l'Aaron teis matecha v'hach es afaretz v'hayol l'chinim b'chol eretz Mitzrayim." Now Aaron is instructed to outstretch the staff over all the dirt, and it'll turn into lice. "Vayasu chen v'yetz Aaron et yado v'mateu v'yach es afar aretz v'ati hakinam ba'adam uva'behema kol afar aretz hayakinim b'chol eretz Mitzrayim." And he's successful. Aaron does as he's told, and there's lice all over Mitzrayim. Now look in Yudalid. "Vayasu chen achartumim b'latehem l'hotzi es hakinim b'lo yacholu v'ati hakinam ba'adam uva'behema." Now, by kinim, the magicians try to do the same thing. They try to create lice from the dirt, and they're unable to. And the kinim, the lice, was all over man and all over the animals. And in Tesvav, it says, "Vayomer achartumim el paro etzba elokim hi. Vayechazak le paro velo shamalehem kasher dibir Hashem." And now the chartumim, they say to Paro that this is the finger of Elohim, of God, and Paro's heart is hardened, and he doesn't listen to them, kasher dibir Hashem, as Hashem had commanded. So just to review and summarize, there's really four instances where we see the presence of the magicians and the magicians attempting to replicate what Moshe and Aaron had done. The first is by the staff, that Aaron throws the staff down, and the magicians are able to replicate it, and their staffs turn into serpents, just like Aaron's. The second case was by Dam, that they were able to turn the water into blood, just as Aaron had done with his staff, obviously through Hashem. The third case is by the frogs, but we see a little difference there, that Paro, by the first two cases, Paro just doesn't listen, he ignores Moshe and Aaron, but by the third case, he asks Moshe and Aaron to daven, to remove the frogs, and then finally, by the last case, the magicians are defeated. And they failed. They're unable to replicate kinim, the lice. They cannot bring lice forth from the ground, as Moshe and Aaron, as Aaron really had done through his staff. And at that point, they say to Paro, "Etzba Elokim hi," that it's really the finger of God. So I want to understand, as I said in the beginning of this year, I really want to understand the progression here of the magicians replicating what went on, and then eventually being unable to replicate it by the kinim, and the difference in Paro's reaction for each one. In each one, we see a difference in his reaction. By the first one, he just doesn't listen. By the second one, he doesn't listen. By the third one, he's already asking Moshe and Aaron to daven for him. And by the fourth one, the magicians fail. And as a result of their failure, they're no longer involved really in the picture. They no longer attempt. This is the last makkah where they attempt to replicate. And now they're out of the picture. So that's really those are the two questions on or for the shir tonight. Does anybody have any other questions that they wanna ask on this point or on this area? I think the most fundamental question before we answer what's going on here is, do you believe in magic? What do you guys think on the phone line? Does anybody on the phone line believe in magic? In the occult? So I don't believe in magic. I claim to be a rationalist. I don't believe in magic. And I want to really understand the shir through the eyes of, I saw the ideas in Ibn Ezra and ideas in Rav Sadia Gaon, and I thought the ideas were very compelling on this area, but I wanted to make sure that, or figure out what their opinions were about magic. And I didn't really know, I saw what they said on this area, and I kind of had an inkling as to how they felt or what their philosophies were about magic, but luckily, I did a search for the Ibn Ezra on magic, and what popped up was Masorah.org, and there is a source in Vayikra that the Ibn Ezra rejects magic. He says there's no such thing as magic. So I want to thank Masorah.org for giving me that information, for finding me that source. And this is really a fundamental idea in the Shir tonight. So if you look at number 5, it's really the Ibn Ezra. It's Vayikra, Perek Yotes, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. And the Ibn Ezra is referring to, is going on the Pasuk of different individuals who do seances, who try to communicate with the dead and try to tell the future, fortune tellers. He says, He says the word ovos comes from the pasuk in Iyov, ovos chadashim, like new wineskins. This is really the essence of their craft. I'm not really sure what he means there, but he goes on. Why are they called yidonim? It comes from the word das. They request to know the future. They're fortune tellers. They tell you the future. And the Torah asers a person from going to an oven yidoni. And he says, Vereke moach amru, lule sha ovos emes, gam kein derech hakishuv lo asra makasuv. People who have no brains, they say that if not for the fact that ovos and yidonim are true, and so too magic are true, lo asra makasuv, the pasuk would not have asered them, prohibited them. Meaning, he's saying that some people who are thoughtless, who have no brains, reke moach, they want to say that ovos and kishuf is real, and that's why the Torah answers it, because the Torah doesn't want a person to be involved in those things that really work. Vani omer hefech divrayim, but I say the opposite. This is the Ibn Ezra. Ki akasav lo asar emes, rak hasheker. The Torah is not going to asar, it's not going to prohibit something that's true. It only prohibits something that's false. Va'eid ha'elilim v'hapsilim. And the proof for that is really the idols, the various idols, that they don't work, and they're false, and that's why the Torah asers them. V'lule she'en ritzoni lahare chayisim evar davar balas ov b'rayos gemuros. If not for the fact that I don't want to lengthen my commentary, I would have explained in detail how this works, how ov and yidoni work naturally. Okay, so the Ibn Ezra, just an important point in the Shir, because the Shir is going to try to understand what the magicians are trying to do from a rational standpoint, from a belief not in magic and not in sorcery, but that it was more sleight of hand. And the basis for that is the Ibn Ezra. And the Ibn Ezra is in Vayikra, and he says pretty openly that all these things are false, they're not really true, they don't really work. He says, by Ovos and Yidonim, and so too, he says, Gam Kein Derech HaKishuf, he says, so too, the ways of magic, that they're not real, they don't really work. So that's really the Ibn Ezra. So this is, it's important to know. I know there are other Rishonim and there are other Acharonim that maintain that magic is real and there's some reality to magic. But for the purpose of the Shir tonight, we're going to approach it that what the magicians were doing was not really magic, but it was really, as a magician nowadays does, more sleight of hand, more illusion. And we'll explain it in detail. I also want to look at the Rosh Hashanah, because he's another source for the idea that the magicians were not really doing magic. And I'm going to read the English inside. It's Emunos Hadeos, the Book of Beliefs and Opinions, and in my version it's page 152 on Command and Prohibition. He says, if someone were to ask how the magicians of Paro could have performed miracles paralleling those wrought by Moshe, so if somebody asked how were they were capable of doing this, how were they able to replicate the Nisim, we would say in reply that of the 10 miracles that Moshe performed, namely, the conversion of his cane into a serpent and the 9 others, there were only 3 which the Torah mentions as having been duplicated by them. So if his first point is that they were unable to duplicate all of them, only the first 3, Makos. But even the reproduction of them, of these 3 to parallel Moshe's feet, is not mentioned by the Torah for the purpose of showing that he and they were equals. So he says that it's not to mean that the Chartumim were equal to Moshe in their ability to replicate the Nes. It was done merely in order to differentiate between his feet and theirs, but rather the opposite. That is trying to show you the difference between Moshe's ability to perform a nes through Hashem and theirs. The Torah namely states explicitly that Moshe had performed a patent act as the Lord had commanded. These others, however, had done something clandestine, undercover, the cunning of which stood revealed once it was uncovered. Thus, the Psukim state, with reference to the 3 aforementioned miracles, and the magicians did in like manner with their secret arts. Okay, so the Rosh Hashanah is saying that the difference is that Moshe actually did an ace, And by the magicians, they were doing something hidden, something undercover, some sleight of hand. And he says this last expression, he explains the word lahat in the language of psukim solely to designate something hidden, covered, wrapped up, and then he brings psukim. So he says that whenever the word lahat is used, v'lahatehem, it's a reference to the idea of hidden and covered. And he says that the idea of the magicians, as opposed to Moshe, is that Moshe was doing a nes in an open fashion, and it was real. But the magicians, they were doing things that were covered, they were hidden, and they were able to trick people into believing that what they were doing was the same thing as Moshe. But in reality, it wasn't the same. That what they were doing was really just a trick. So we have two sources that the magicians weren't really doing magic. And rather, they were doing something else, which we'll explain. They're doing illusion. And the one source is the Ibn Ezra. It's in Vayikra, Perek Yotas, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. And the other source, as I read right before this, is Rav Sadia Gaon in the book of Beliefs and Opinions, and Munos Videos, where he also discusses that it wasn't really magic. Okay, fine. So we hopefully everybody accepts this point, for at least as a premise of the shir, that it wasn't really magic. But we still have to understand what's going on here. What's the purpose of the Torah telling us that they were able to replicate it at first, and then by Dam they did it again, and then by Tzvardeya they did it again, and then finally by Kinim they were unable to do it. Why? What's the difference between Kinim and all the others? And what's the purpose of this progression? What's the idea behind this progression? So what are these magicians? Who were they, according to the Ibn Ezra? The Ibn Ezra goes into a little bit more detail, and this will be a key point, I think, in understanding why they couldn't replicate Kinim. He says in number 7, it's the Ibn Ezra, Perek Zion, it's a Perisha Aruch, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayikra Gam Paro Lachachamim. This is in reference to the first instance where Moshe and Aaron visit Paro, and they turn, and Aaron's staff turns into a serpent. It says that Paro calls the Chachamim. Who were they? Chachmei Hamazalos. Paro calls the wise men who understood astrology, cosmology, v'lemachashvim, the sorcerers, mishanim davar hatolados l'mare ha'ayin. They're able to change nature, natural things, to the eye. They can create illusions. They're able to make something look like something else. They could take a staff and make it look like a snake. So that's a mechashef, according to the Ibn Ezra. It's not that they can really do magic, but they're able to create illusions in a good way. The Chartumim, and this is the key, the last group of the Chartumim, where it says, Vayasu gam heim Chartumei Mitzrayim, who are they? Heim hayodim sod hatolados. They understand the fundamentals, the secret, the basis of tolados. And the footnote on the Ibn Ezra, I don't have it in the source sheet, says teva, hateva. They understand the nature, the basic understanding of nature, the nature of things, of items, of objects. So I think what the Ibn Ezra is saying is that there's a separate group of people, the Chartumim, who are able to create illusions because they understood how things work. They understood that a snake works in a certain way and acts in a certain way, and if you do certain things to the snake, it'll react certain ways. They understood all of nature. They understood a lot of the fundamentals, the sodos, the secrets of nature, and because they understood them, they were able to manipulate nature and make it appear as an illusion and make it appear as a nes. And this is a key point that we're going to utilize in analyzing the defeat of the magicians. Then he goes on, he says, Vamila Revius. The Ibn Ezra is very into grammar, and he says that Chartumim, it has four letters in its shoresh. Normally, by the Hebrew, by Lashon HaKodesh, there's words have three letters as their shoresh. So he says, Ulai Lashon Mitzrayim Hu, perhaps this is a Mitzri word, it's an Egyptian word, Chartumim, O Lashon Kasdim, or it's the Kasdi, a Kasdim word. We don't find this in any other place other than in reference to the Egyptians over here, and also by the Kazdim, I think it's Daniel. V'hifresh ha-kasov. Now this is important. V'hifresh ha-kasov bein Masa Moshe shahaya emes shenefa hamata litanin. The pasuk is differentiating between Moshe's act, which was true, where the staff actually turned into a tanin, into a serpent, uvein Masa chartumim. And between the act of the Chartumim, which we said before are those people who create illusions based on their knowledge of nature and how things react, Al-Kain Kasuv Bilateim. That's why it says Bilateim. V'hamila Hashlishis Migzeres Lahats HaCherev Eshkeva Loatim Bilato Sam Hayom Abba. And the word Lahat is the Shoresh is Lamed Hei Tes. V'hu kimo brikos v'esh overas, and it's similar to lightning and very quick fire. V'zos hi achizas einayim, and it grabs the eyes. Okay, so his idea, the idea that the Ibn Ezra is saying in the first instance of the magicians, is that they were really, he says they're Khartoumim, that they were people who understood the nature of things, how things worked, and as a result they could create illusions. But the illusions that they created, the magic that they created, was very fast. It was like seeing lightning. Lightning goes by very quickly. It grabs, it catches the eye, but it was very quick, and it wasn't long standing. Okay, this is important, just trying to develop what's going on here, who they are, what are they doing here. So we already established that the magicians weren't doing magic according to the Ibn Ezra, but rather they were using their ability or their knowledge of nature, their ability to replace one thing with another thing, create illusions. They were able to do that, but the nature of their magic was that it wasn't long-standing, it wasn't lasting, but it was very quick, it was very fast. But nevertheless, you see in number one, in the first instance, that they were able to replicate it. And how would you describe, I would say, this is a critical or key idea. In the first instance, they're really able to replicate it in a perfect way. The only thing that's different is in Yud Beis, it says that the mate of Aaron, it swallowed up their matos. But in terms of the actual nis of turning the stick into a reptile, into a serpent, it seems as though they were able to do the exact same thing. They were able to replicate it exactly. And with that, that's the first encounter that Moshe and Aaron have with Paro and also the Khartoumim. They're able to replicate it in an exact way. And I believe that this is why Paro didn't listen to them. It makes sense. Why didn't Paro listen to them? In Yud Gimel, in source number one, it says, Vayechazak le Paro v'lo shamaliyam kasher dibir Hashem. In the first instance, he saw that the Khartoumim were able to replicate it. So the assumption is that if the Khartoumim could replicate it, so too Moshe and Aaron. They were using the same type of method. They were using the same magic tricks, the same illusions in creating this nis. So that's the first instance. So Paro is not convinced because the magicians are able to replicate it in an exact manner. But now we get to Dam, and there's a little bit of a difference in Dam, and there's a difference in Svardaya, and lastly, there's a difference in the Kenim. So we look at number 8. If anybody has any questions, please stop me and ask. Anybody on the phone line? Okay, so look at number 8 on the source sheet. We just explained the first scenario, which was with the Tannin, with the serpent, and now we move on to Dam. It says in the Ibn Ezra, Parag Zayin, Persha Arach, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayasu Chain, they also did this. This is by Dam. Milos Bilateim, Migzeres Vatavo Elov Balat. And he says now, Bilateim, without a hay, is an idea in being secretive. Bidivre Seser, Hanelamim Minayin. They were doing something covered, something hidden, similar to what Rav Sadia Gaon said. Ve'ena mila chaseres hei, ki ahei enenu mi'osios hemshech be'emtza mila. Fine. V'yesh l'shol, I have a question. Im al yad Aaron nefchu kol meime mitzrayim ledom, if through Aaron's hands and his staff, all of the waters of Mitzrayim were turned into blood, ana matzu achartumim mayim b'hafchum. Where did the Khartoumim find water in order to turn it into blood? It's a good question. Factually, where did they find the water? The Hachuva, what's the answer? Aaron lo hafach raka mayim shayu al aretz. That Aaron, he only turned the water that was on the land. Velo amayim shayu tachas aretz. But he did not turn the water that was underneath the land into blood. V'chartumim chafru v'hotziu mayim v'heru kinefchu ledam. They took water from beneath the land, and then they showed and demonstrated that and that they turned it into blood. V'yesh hefresh gadol. Now he says another. V'yesh hefresh gadol ben mase Aaron uvein maseim. There's another a great difference in dam between the act of Aaron and their actions. Ki ha'aron hafach kol hayor shehaya lefanav. That Aaron was able to transform the whole entire river that was in front of him. V'chol mayim shehaya b'chol gvu Mitzrayim shelo haya roe osam. And all the water in Mitzrayim was turned into blood, and he didn't see all that. The ode ki hafach mayim she'enam omdim rak rotzim tamid. He also was able to turn water that wasn't standing, but it was moving water into blood. Umayim acherim baim, and even water that was coming and that was kept filling up, all that was turned into blood. The ode ki amda hamake shivas yamim. And furthermore, this make it lasted 7 days. Vachartumim, but the chartumim lo herhu shehafchu rak mayim atim omdim bekli. But the Khartoumim, they were only able to replicate the Makkah in a small sense. in a kli with very small amount of water. Vizaya rega echad achishav paro albeso. And it was only for one moment, and it was enough that Paro saw, he got a glimpse of what the Khartoumim were able to do, and then he turned around and he went home. Okay, so the Ibn Ezra, he's painting the picture here. So the first instance, they were able to replicate it exactly. But now already, there's already, you know, they were able to replicate it. Obviously, in the first instance, it wasn't real what they had done as opposed to what Moshe had done and Aaron. But over here, it's clear, there seems to be some type of clarity that there's a difference between their action and the action of Aaron. And he says it pretty openly. He says that by Aaron's, it lasted longer, it affected more water, it lasted longer, and it was even running water. But the Khartoumim were limited, and theirs was limited to a very small amount, and still water. It was almost a different type of nace, a different miracle, but it was enough that Paro saw it for a moment, and he was convinced, and he went back home. So in the progression of the magicians, from step one to step two, in step one, they replicated exactly, and Paro's not convinced by Moshe and Aaron. He thinks that Aaron and Moshe are just doing magic, and they're creating illusions. But in the second move, by Dom, there's already a clear distinction, but Paro, he only sees, it seems as if he doesn't want to see the truth, he doesn't want to see what's going on. When a person only wants to see what they want to see, you know, they get what they want to see. And Paro over here, he only saw for a moment, he saw that water had turned into Dom, but there was a clear distinction between the two, but nevertheless, Paro was not convinced by this distinction. He was still able to throw off Moshe and Aaron and say that what Aaron had done was merely just an illusion. And the way that he did it seems like, is that he saw it for a moment, and the idea of the scale is just, it's not a qualitative difference, it's just quantitative, that Moshe and Aaron were able to affect more water, but the Khartoumim affected less water. But really, they're using the same mechanism, the same method. And that's what Paro was, or that's how Paro thought at this point. So Paro was still not able to break free of his belief that Aaron and Moshe were utilizing the same method of illusions to create Nisim at this point by Dom. But it was clear in the actual miracles themselves that there started to be, a kink in the chain, and there was something off about the nature of the Khartoumim relative to Moshe and Aaron, and this is where the downfall begins of the Khartoumim. So in the first instance, we see exact replication, and in the second instance, we already see differences in the scale, in the amount, the running water versus the still water, but yet Paro is still convinced, and he doesn't want to break free of his opinion that Moshe and Aaron were just creating this illusion. Okay, so this is so what about the next one, by Tzvardeya? So what did we say in the beginning of this year? That by Tzvardeya, we said that you saw, if you look back at number three, it says in Tzvardeya and Pasuk Dalid, right after the Khartoumim are able to replicate it, Vayikra Paro leMoshe ulaHaron, Vayomer Hatiru laHashem, Yaser Tzvardeya mimeni umeami, Vashlecha sa'am bizbechu laHashem. That Paro calls Moshe and Aaron after the Khartoumim are able to replicate it, and he says, please daven for me. So we see here, at least from Paro's mentality, that there's a shift by Tzvardeya. And the shift is that Paro is now willing to change his stance a little bit. That before he's convinced that Moshe and Aaron are just using magic, the illusion. And now he starts to change his stance a little bit, and there's a little bit of a development in Paro's philosophy. And if you look at number 10, the Ibn Ezra also, he notices this difference. He says that Vayomru, hold on one second. No, that was by Kenim. Sorry, before number 9, the Ibn Ezra. He says on Perek Ches Pasuk Gimel, Vayasu b'mayim muatim, al kain ra'a paro ki yesh hefresh ben ma'ase Aaron uvin ma'aseyem, al kain kara lemoshe ki ra'a shachartuim hosifu ala makev lo yachlu l'chasra. This is talking about Tzvardeya, and Paro noticed that they were using a different scale. He saw that they were only doing it with a small amount of water, bringing out frogs from a small amount of water. And at that point, he saw that the Khartoumim also, they can only add on to the Makkah, but they weren't able to take away from the Makkah. So Paro was already recognizing through Tzvardeya, and the Ibn Ezra quote points this out, that there's some difference between what the Khartoumim are doing and what Moshe and Aaron are doing, and that they're not as powerful, and that they lack, and there's something missing in their actions. So just to review a little bit, first instance, they replicated exactly. Paro's not convinced. Moshe and Aaron are just magicians. Second instance, there's a difference, there's a clear difference, but Paro doesn't see that difference, and he doesn't want to see that difference. And he's still convinced that Moshe and Aaron are magicians. But now, by Tzfardea, the third time, it's already clear in Paro's mind, this distinction between what Aaron's doing and what they're doing. They're using a much smaller scale, they're unable to stop it, they're unable to, you know, to minimize the Makkah. And at this point, Paro's already ready to admit that this must be coming from a different source, and he asks Moshe and Aaron, or Moshe, to daven to Hashem. And then we get to the last idea of Kinim, where the magicians were unable to do Kinim. And the question is, why were they not able to do Kinim? And that's really one of the key points in the Shir. And what do we learn from this situation, from this case? So if you look in number 10 in the Ibn Ezra, because we're being consistent here, we're trying to use the Ibn Ezra throughout the Shir. The Ibn Ezra says in number 10, Vayomru ba'avur shira'u, this is talking about the Chartumim by Kinim. They said, because they saw, she'asu kemase Aaron bedavar atanin, they were able to replicate what Aaron had done by the serpents in the first situation, gam b'makas ha'dam bar tzvardeya, and also by dam and tzvardeya, they were able to replicate it on a smaller scale, v'lo yachlu ata la'asos kasher asa Aaron. But at this point, they were not able to do what Aaron had done. Amru l'faro, they therefore said to Paro, lo ba'azos ha'makeh ba'avur Yisrael l'shalcham. They said that this makeh did not come in order to send Yisrael away. Rak makas elokim hi k'fi ma'arekas ha'kuchavim al mazal eretz Mitzrayim. But rather, when they say it's makas elokim, the Ibn Ezra points out that they don't say it's makas Hashem. They say it's makas elokim. So what does that mean? It means that this is some type of astrological event. But it's no longer... they can no longer say that it's Moshe and Aaron causing this, but the next step, according to the Ibn Ezra, that the Chartumim and Paro make is that it's not coming from Moshe and Aaron, but it's coming from the stars. And he says, Ki kfar pirashti, ki paro lo kacha shabore. Paro did not contradict the existence of a creator. Rak Hashem shehizkir lo Moshe. He did not accept the Shem Hashem. He did not accept Yichud Hashem, the oneness of God. Vizeh b'derach ki lo yado naga banu, mikre hu hayalanu. And there's a similar, Minashamayim, in Shmuel Aleph, there's a similar idea where Hashgacha is rejected and it seems, or it's interpreted as something that's just an accident. Alkein chazak lev paro. That's why over here, Paro's lev was chazak. He still was not able to, and not convinced that this was from God, according to the Ibn Ezra, but at least at this point, he was able to transition from it being magic and an illusion. Now he recognizes that it's not that. But he's attributing it, based on the Chartumim, to the stars. Vasher Yechazak Zaperish Amru Etzba Elokim hi Velo Amru Etzba Hashem Shu Elokei Yisrael. That's why the Chartumim say Etzba Elokim and they do not say Etzba Hashem Shu Elokei Yisrael. Kasher Amar Paro B'Makas HaTzfardim HaTirul Hashem V'Zeh Hashem Hizkir B'Makos HaAchronos. This shame is mentioned in the last Makos. V'Od Ki Moshe Amar L'Paro Davar Makas Eor Lefnei Yosef V'Kach L'Makas HaTzfardim V'Lo Hizkir Lo B'Tchila Makas HaKinim. And furthermore, he mentions that Kinim was unique because there was no warning about Kinim, but by Tzvardeya there was, and by Dam there was. Okay, so the Ibn Ezra is making the last move here in the progression of the Shir, which is that in the first instance, replication, exactly. The second instance, it was on a smaller scale, but Paro didn't want to accept it. On the third, he was already transitioning, and he already accepted that this wasn't exactly the same. And by the last situation, by the Kinim, the Chartumim themselves go to Paro and they say, this is not magic anymore, it's not an illusion, but rather it's something else. It's really, it's from the stars. It's just accidental, it's Mikra. Okay, so we see that the Torah is giving us this progression here. But the question that we asked was, what's different about Kinim? Why is it that by Kinim, they were not able to replicate this Makkah, but by all the others, by Tzfardeya, by Dam, by the Tanin, they were able to do something similar, even though it was not exactly the same. Okay, anybody have any possibilities about Kinim? Why would Kinim be different? By Kinim, what happened was is that Aaron, he took his staff, he hit the dirt, and the dirt turned into Kinim, into lice, and then the lice were all over the place. They were all over the animals, all over man, and they were all over the ground. So why couldn't the, what is it about Kinim that made it so, it made it so difficult for the Chartumim to replicate it? And they couldn't do it. Why not?
Everywhere.
Okay, that's good. It was everywhere. So that's actually what the Ibn Ezra says in the next one, number 11. He does mention that. If you go to Va'osa Gadol, skip to the period. Va'osa Gadol, Kinea Afar B'Makum Echad, V'Haya Kinim B'Chol Malchus Mitzrayim. The kingdom was everywhere. Afar was in one place, but the kingdom had spread everywhere. And this was not the, they still didn't want to attribute it to Hashem and through the staff, but they said, as Ibn Ezra mentioned before, that it was really the land, and it was some type of accident in the land. Fine, I accept that, that it was everywhere. But still, by the Dom was everywhere too, and they were able to replicate it on a smaller scale. So why over here were they not able to replicate it on a smaller scale? Because by Dom was everywhere. That's what we said before in the Ibn Ezra, that the Dom, the blood, was in all of the rivers, all the lakes in Mitzrayim, and yet they were able to take a small amount of water and replicate it. Over here, just take one speck of dirt and turn it into lice and demonstrate that you can replicate it. So what was the problem here? Why couldn't they? That's the question. So there's two schools of thought here, but I want to go with one school of thought, and I think it fits into the Ibn Ezra. He doesn't really explain the Ibn Ezra. No, I didn't find anywhere where the Ibn Ezra explains why they couldn't do it. But I did see there's a Rashi, and he quotes a Gemara, and I think the Gemara fits in, and this approach fits in with what the Ibn Ezra is saying. Okay, so if you look at number 12, this is Rashi. Rashi says, L'hotzi asakinim, l'vro'osam mimakom acher, they could not create them from another place. V'lo yacholu, they could not. She'ena shade, sholet alberia p'chusa michsa'ora. That the shade, the demon, they do not or cannot rule over something, a creature that's smaller than barley, than a pearl of barley. Michsa'ora. Etzba lo kimhi. Now Rashi argues with Ibn Ezra. He says, Etzba lo kimhi, makazu ina al yidei kshafim esa makumi. Rashi and other Rishonim say that at this point, it wasn't that the Chartumim just simply said it was accidental, but they actually say the opposite. They say that no, they recognized that it was from God. They saw that this was not no longer magic, but it wasn't a transition to the stars in astrology, but it really was an acceptance on the part of the Chartumim that it was from God, from Hashem. But the middle Rashi is strange. He says, She'ina shade sholet alberia p'chusa michsa'ora. He says the key idea is that there's something about kinim that makes it unique, which is that, and the dirt is that it's very small. Kinim lice are very tiny. They're very small. And he says that the shade is not sholet alberia p'chusa michsa'ora. Now, the Ibn Ezra is learning. We said before that the Ibn Ezra was learning that this is not really magic. He's not really using, there's no magical powers here, but they're using illusion. And we said earlier in the Ibn Ezra that the Chartumim, what are the Chartumim? They're people who understand nature and how things work. And they understand, for example, they understand how a snake, I use the snake example, that how a snake reacts. And if you understand how a snake reacts, then you can potentially create an illusion that it looks like a stick or a staff. And they understood perhaps how dyeing worked and how they could dye water and make it look like it was really blood when it's not really blood. So they understood how nature worked. They understood how creatures, animals worked. They understood how, you know, the elements worked. They had an understanding of those, and because they had that understanding, they were able to therefore replicate it. But I think the key idea that Rashi's pointing out based on the Gemara is that if you maintain that it was really an illusion, it wasn't really magic, the issue by the kinim is the size of the kinim, is that it's so small, it was so small, lice is very small. And I want to say that in order to replicate, we said before that in order to replicate properly the way that the Chartumim did it, they utilized their knowledge of how things work. But when it comes to things that are very small in the world, the smaller things get, the more difficult it is to understand how they work. And of course, nowadays we have microscopes, but even with microscopes and even with the most advanced technology, we still, as we break down things into smaller and smaller components, we still have questions. We still don't understand exactly, you know, how the electrons relate to the protons and the neutrons. We don't really understand how all these smaller elements, these smaller aspects of nature, really work, and we really have a lack of comprehension fully. And there's always smaller particles that they're discovering. And this is constantly going on. But when it comes to something very small, something tiny, there's a lack of understanding. There seems to be a greater lack of understanding on the part of humanity. It could just be because we can't see it. It's harder to see. And it's harder. But it's also just the deeper we get into this science, it's still difficult to understand how it works, how the building blocks of nature work. So I think that although a lot of Rishonim say that the issue is that they couldn't create anything out of nothing, but I think over here, based on Rashi and this Gemara, that it was a different problem. The problem was that there was a lack of knowledge on the part of the Chartumim, and even scientists nowadays, as to how something so small could work. They couldn't access that object, they couldn't access the lice, and therefore they couldn't see what was going on, how the lice, and how something as small as a speck of dirt, how it could work and how it could function, and because of that they were unable to replicate this illusion. And once they were unable to replicate they could not create this illusion, so they had to admit that it wasn't magic anymore, because their magic and their ability to create an illusion, it was stunted at this point. They were unable to move forward because they were unable to access any knowledge of how this tiny little speck functioned, how this little lice functioned. And that's what I think it means. She'ena sheit shulet aberi p'chusa mechsora. It means that there's a uniqueness to when you get to something miniature and very small and microscopic, it becomes more and more obvious that there's no real forces, they're not individual forces. It becomes, I think, more and more obvious that it's really God and that there's really Hashgacha here. And that's really more along the lines of Rashi. Rashi's saying that it's a positive idea, that when you see and you delve deeper into the minutia of the way things are created and the building blocks of creation, you see more and more that there is a creator and that it's really God. So really Rashi's focusing more on the positive, that they were able to identify it as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even according to the Ibn Ezra, at this point, they recognized that there was a lack of their knowledge in this area, that they couldn't access knowledge in something so small, so miniature, and they had to admit that it wasn't magic, it wasn't an illusion, and they went and they told Paro that it was, according to the Ibn Ezra, that it was from the stars, that it wasn't from them. Now, there's a proof also. It's a good thing that we're staying consistent here with Ibn Ezra and Rav Sadia Gaon. So at number 13, I put down Rabbeinu Bechaya. But I found in him that he quotes an idea in Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon, which I think fits in nicely with the same concept in the Ibn Ezra. But he uses it to back up. I don't want to mislead everybody, but he uses it to back up the theory that the reason why they were stunted was tied into their inability to create. But I think it fits more into this approach. He says, "V'chein kasav Rabbi Sadia Gaon." This is Rabbeinu Bechaya on its what pasuk is this? On Pasuk Tesvav, Perek Ches Pasuk Tesvav, he says, "V'chein kasav Rabbi Sadia Gaon." Rabbi Sadia Gaon said, or he wrote, "Matzino lashon etzba b'shlosha dvarim." We see the word etzba, the finger, with regard to three things: b'galgalim, with regard to the spheres, meaning cosmology; uvaluchos, and by the luchos it says etzba lokem; uvemakas akinim, and also by kinim. Hagalgal besachlis hagodel she'in guf lamala mimenu. By the spheres, it's because of the vastness and the greatness of the spheres of all the planets and the stars, and there's nothing greater than them in terms of physical guf. Vehaluchos lamata mehem beguf. Luchos are not obviously as big. They were not as big as the spheres and the stars and the planets. Ulamala mehem bozoar, but they are more. They are greater in their radiance. The luchos was greater in its radiance. Vehakinim. Why kinim? Besachlis haktanus v'hagrius. Because of the fact that it was so small and it's like nothing. It's nothingness. The afal pichin, nevertheless, hiskir, sorry, I just turned the page. Bishlushtam lashon echad. There's one idea or one lashon used by all of them. Lahoros kiakol echad. They're all one. Vishave etzel yecholto yisbarach. They're all equal in terms of God's abilities, Hashem's abilities. Now, Rav Sadia Gaon saying that there's three, he points out that in the Torah, there's three instances where it says Etzba Elokim. One is by the spheres, by the planets and the stars. The other one is by the Luchos, which he says is because of the fact that it had a radiance. And the last idea is by Kinim, because of its small nature, and it's to demonstrate that that God's capable in all these areas. But I think that, forget about the Luchos, I don't really want to identify or define, explain the Luchos at this point, but the other two, I think, it fits in nicely with the nature of the shir, because you see that Hashem is manifested and it's clear in etzba. It's clear that it's from Hashem, that it's Hashem's finger, when you see something completely vast and great, when you see the greatness of the spheres and cosmology, and when you look up at the stars and you see how many there are and how complicated physics is and abstract physics is, that's one area where you see Etzba Elokim. And the other is by something tiny, very small, like the Kinim. You see that the smaller you get, when you start delving into atoms and neutrons and protons and electrons and quarks and all these smaller and smaller particles, once you start delving into that area also, you see Etzba Elokim. You see that there's an idea and there's a reflection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the creation. That there's and it's complex. Once you get into the details and the building blocks, it becomes complex. But it's also a reflection of the greatness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And all these things, even the greatness, the great vast thing, and even the small thing, the tiny thing, they all are the same in the realm of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, as Rav Sadia Gaon says. Hakol echad v'shava eitzel yecholto yisbarach. Okay? So that's really the shir, the topic is concluded at this point. I just want to summarize the key ideas of the shir. The shir is on the progression of the magicians in the story in Parshas Va'era, and we see them in four instances. The first is by the snake, the staff into the snake, serpent. The second is by Dam, then by Tzvardeya, and then by Kinim. They're unable to replicate the Makkah of Kinim. And the question is, what's the purpose of the Torah giving us this progression? So our premise of the shir was that we're going to utilize the Ibn Ezra, and the Ibn Ezra's idea of magic is that there's no such thing as magical forces, as sorcery, but it's really just illusion, and it's not true, it's false, it doesn't work. And we looked in the, and Rav Sadia Gaon also corroborates that. And then with that, we understood the nature of the magicians, that the magicians were utilizing, either they were switching one thing for another, or they understood how the nature of things worked, and they were able to create illusions based on that knowledge. And we see in the progression that at first they're able to replicate it exactly, and then there's obviously a distinction in the replication, but nevertheless, Paro, he's not convinced. He doesn't want to see the distinction. He only sees it briefly. By Tzvardeya, it becomes clearer to Paro, this distinction between the magicians and between what Aaron's doing. And then finally, by Kinim, the magicians were unable to replicate it, and it's clear that it's not magic, it's not illusion coming from Aaron and Moshe. And at that point, we explain why Kinim, what's unique about Kinim. So the one thing about Kinim, which, or not the only thing, but one thing that we pointed out is that Kinim are very tiny, they're very small, and Rashi points this out, and also we saw that Rabbeinu Bechaya points this out, and one of the key points in the shir is that when you get to very small things, tiny things, it becomes more and more difficult for man to have a grasp, to grasp what's going on underneath the surface once you get to very tiny things. And because of that, they were unable to replicate it, and they had to admit that there was something greater causing this. And the Rav Sadia Gaon has a nice idea also that Etzba is used by something very small, also by something very grand. But I don't think it's just used by something very small because I think it's used by something very small because the nature of something very small is that it reflects on a creator. That when you look at the building blocks, the atoms, the protons, the neutrons, the electrons, all those smaller particles, you start reflecting more upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu and that there's a creator. And that's what he's pointing out, that both when you see the vastness of the cosmos and when you see the miniature nature and you look and you delve into the microscopic nature of things and how things are created, you start seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more apparent. And that's the shir tonight. So hopefully everybody enjoyed the shir, and I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos this week, and we'll continue with Parsha next week. All right, everybody have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.